Now, most of us at one time or another would have considered dropping everything and leaving our lives for some remote area of the world where there's peace and quiet, no phones, no emails, no one demanding our attention and time. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, my next guest lives as far away and as isolated as you can imagine. And this is just a taste of what it sounds like there. Is that the kind of peace and quiet you would like? That's what it sounds like on a speck of sand on a reef 450 kilometres east of Cairns in the Coral Sea. It's home to a large population of seabirds. And at this time of the year, there's a growing number of green sea turtles as they come ashore to lay their eggs in the sand. Willis Island is also home to four people from the Bureau of Meteorology who maintain the Bureau's weather station, and they gather various other environmental information. And Keon Stevenson is the officer in charge on Willis Island. He's on the satellite phone to us this morning. Good morning to you, Keon.
Very good morning from Willis Island.
Well, I guess the obvious question to ask you is, what's the weather like on Willis Island this morning?
It's quite windy, actually. The last fortnight we've had winds in excess of 20 knots. So haven't had too much fun in the water of late, but it's nice temperature out here at the moment, about 28 degrees, and very nice.
Oh, fantastic. It does sound quite lovely. Now, you sent us that little clip of what it's like on Willis Island. Just give us an idea of how big Willis Island is. What is the vegetation like?
Yeah, look, the island's quite small. The island's made up of the Willis Islets, and there's three islands that make up this chain. We're on the southern island, and the island itself is about only 450 metres long by 150 metres wide. And its highest point, we're about 9 metres above sea level. But the island itself is made up of, as you mentioned, lots of seabirds. We have noddies, red-footed boobies, shearwaters, and frigate birds. So it is quite noisy with the birds, but it is a beautiful paradise.
So just tell us who or which birds were we listening to just on that audio that you'd sent us?
Yeah, initially in that audio was a common noddy bird. There's quite a few of those on the island, and they kind of nest in colonies. And then the noisier one was the bird with a bit of character, which is the red-footed booby bird.
And I'm sure you get to know the characters as well. Are you able to make friends with them, apart from your three other colleagues on the island?
When they're actually fledgling, the young birds will land on you. You can actually put your arm out, and they'll come and land on you and as they're learning to fly. So it's quite an experience.
Fantastic. Now, you're there, of course, to take care of the Bureau's weather monitoring station. Take us through what that actually entails.
Yeah, look, a typical tour is a six-month tour for four staff, three people that take weather observations. And the weather observations are mainly made up of two functions, and they're surface observations and upper air observations. Now, the surface observations include temperature data, wind data, visual cloud observations, and identifying different types of weather. And those weather messages are sent over regular intervals. Now, we also have a technician on site, and that person is looking after our life systems. So things like our diesel generators, our water desalination plant, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So they really keep the place ticking over, which is nice.
All right, so there's four of you together for 6 months on a small island. Do you all get along?
You've got to make it work.
You do, don't you?
We have been here about a month now, and things are going really well, and we'll be here from... We got here in mid-October and we'll be here till mid-April of next year. And this is my third time out here. And, yeah, I just love the place. The snorkeling is beautiful out here.
I'm sure. Now, the weather station was built in 1921 as a cyclone early warning station. So I guess it's seen quite a few cyclones in its time. What's it like being on such a small island when a cyclone hits?
Yeah, look, the building itself was rebuilt back in 2006, and it's quite an extensive building and is rated to last through cyclones of up to Category 4 and 5. But we had a cyclone come through in February of 2011. Mm-hmm. It was Cyclone Yasi, and unfortunately, the crew that was on the station at that point was removed due to the severity of the cyclone. So if it is severe enough, we won't keep the staff on the island. But, you know, if it's Category 1 or 2, we might look at leaving the people there.
What would have to happen for that sort of an evacuation? Why would they decide to remove the crew? Because of water surge or the winds or...
Yeah, both. The surge itself actually came up to the front door, so that's a surge of 9 metres in height, and winds were recorded to up to 185 kilometres an hour before systems actually unfortunately broke down, but we would have seen winds in excess of 200 kilometres an hour, no problem.
Now, apart from monitoring the weather, you also do some observations for the Australian Institute of Marine Science. You look at the state of the coral and the water temperature. There's a lot of concern about that at the moment. What are those telling you at the moment?
We have two water data loggers sighted on the southern side of the island, and they actually record temperature. We change those over every 6 months. I was out here 12 months ago, and the state of the reef was quite good. The reef was really starting to regenerate after the Cyclone Yasi from 2011, but in the past 12 months, unfortunately, we've seen a bit of coral bleaching, and things have dropped off a little bit, unfortunately, and that's something that's happened right through the northern tropical areas.
Now, it's because of the corals that you also get cruise ships going past as well. Do you get to wave at them, or can they stop and get off on the island and say hello?
No, we don't actually. They anchor off the island just probably 300-400 metres off the island. We actually have a chat to them, much like we're having a chat now over the VHF radio, and we just talk about, you know, daily life and what we're doing out here. And we also release one of the weather balloons in conjunction with their visit. People are all out on the deck, and up to almost 4,000 people on some of those cruise ships.
I'm sure they're very curious about your life as well. Now, birds, as you mentioned, are the main inhabitants of the island. And I'm presuming they make quite a mess. From what I hear, cleaning bird poop is part of your duties, is that right?
Yes, it is. Guano, as we know it.
Did you know that you had to do that as part of your job before you took the job?
Not so much initially, but being the third time I've been out here, we have a regular routine where we get the high-pressure hose out and give it a blast, and we try and maintain that, but it's a battle that's pretty hard to win.
I'm sure. Now, turtle season has begun. Are you starting to see lots of adult females come in and lay their eggs?
Yeah, we're actually fortunate enough, a couple of nights ago, I was able to see a female lay her eggs. That's the first time I've seen that. Mm-hmm. And, we'll see that over the next couple of months, and then we'll start to see some small turtle hatchlings hatch. It takes around 2 months, and they'll go out into the big, wide ocean.
Is there an average number of turtles that actually come on shore and lay their eggs?
It's a little bit difficult to determine. In the past, we have done a bit of monitoring with tagging and things of that nature, but we could have up to 200 nests, and each female can lay, you know, around 100 eggs, so that's a lot of small turtles.
Mm. Keon, as I mentioned a little earlier, a lot of us would actually want to get away and get onto a nice remote island, the kind that you're on at the moment, but what's life like there in such an isolated spot? What sort of a routine do you have?
Yeah, we work around a roster with our work, so we have a morning and afternoon shift for the people performing the weather observations, but the really important part of being out here is to find something that keeps you busy. For myself, it's exercise in the gym or getting out in the water doing some snorkeling. But the station itself is quite modern now. You know, we have nice things like satellite internet, Foxtel, so we actually are still connected to the world.
Yeah, so you're not very, very isolated as such. You still get email, you get phone calls, you get to watch reality TV.
Yeah, that's it. We've got all of those nice things, if that's your, if that's what you like.
Just without the people around you. Now, Willis Island is just one of many remote postings that you've had with the Bureau, both onshore and offshore. Tell us about some of the others.
We have a remote network that allows us to get to Central Australia. It's a posting which is also 6 months, and that's known as Giles Weather Station. and that's about 300 kilometres due west of Uluru. And I've been out there about three times, and that's a completely unique experience, different, really beautiful countryside. And you meet some really unique people travelling through because they go along the road from Kalgoorlie and through to Uluru. So you see quite a few travellers from there. But other places I've actually been to, which is probably even more remote than Willis or on par, is Macquarie Island, about 1,500 kilometres south of Tasmania on the fault line from New Zealand. And I spent 13 months there. That was back in 2014-15. And much of the same types of things, weather observations and living in a small environment with about 15 people down there. So, yeah, really unique experiences. The wildlife is amazing. Elephant seals and giant petrels and things of that nature. So something, you know, things that most people don't get to do. I've seen these places.
Well, it's obviously a lifestyle that you do enjoy. So tell us, what is it that you miss when you're out at these particular remote areas, or you don't miss anything?
I don't miss the traffic of the big cities, you know, spending 10 years in Melbourne myself. Mm. But, you know, Willis Island is set up nicely. You've got all those modern conveniences. But when you're at Macquarie Island, television is a luxury, and you know, I like some of my sports and things like that. So, you know, AFL and basketball, you know, you have to go without those things when you're that far south because, you know, internet is so limited. But, yeah, I think it's the experience and a sense of adventure that's always attracted me to those places.
Keon, it's great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Keon Stevenson there from the Bureau of Meteorology, and he is the officer in charge on Willis Island out there in the Coral Sea, 450 kilometres off Cairns.